Well, welcome to Friendship Community Church this morning. I'm excited to not only wrap up this series entitled Intervention, but I'm also happy to welcome to us, I'm getting a little feedback there, Tommy, if you can bring me down a little bit. I'm happy to welcome to us our newest married couple. Kristen Stokes is now Kristen Sterling and Larry Sterling. Stand up. Kristen and Larry got married last night, and they came to church this morning. So that is impressive and questionable. I think we needed a little bit longer premarital counseling so I could tell you how things work, but that's all right. We're excited not only that you all could join us this Sunday after your wedding, but also a lot of your family and friends are here in attendance as well. It was a beautiful ceremony, complete with a Leaning Tower of Pisa wedding cake. This wedding cake was like, I was trying to get through the ceremony as quick as possible before it went full implosion. But it's good to have you here. And when do you leave for your honeymoon? Not till Friday. Okay. Well, a lot of just twiddling your thumbs until then. Okay. So this morning, as I said, we're going to finish this series, wrap up this series on intervention. And up until now, we've talked a lot about us intervening in other people's lives and how we can best manage, how we can best help people turn away from destructive behaviors that not only destroy themselves, but hurt and destroy relationships and other people's lives. But this morning, what we're going to do is ask a different question, and that is this. What issue or situation in your life right now needs God's intervention? Because as I kind of tongue-in-cheek joked last week, every sermon series and every sermon I'll ever preach is meant as an intervention. It's meant to tell the story of God's intervening in someone's life in the Bible, how God intervenes in our life on our behalf through Christ, through His Holy Spirit, so that we can live a life of purpose and living a life on mission for God. But right now, I would suspect that as many hundred people are in this room right now, we have that many interventions that are wished for, whether it's an intervention in a friend's life, in a loved one's life, but more importantly, in your life, what is it right now that you are seeking for God's intervention? Because the Bible talks about and repeatedly demonstrates our mode or mechanism for seeking intervention from God. Because if God is all-powerful, right? If He's all-powerful, if there's nothing that He can't do, if there's no situation that is immune to Him, if He has no kryptonite, then He can intervene in your life, in your situation right now, today. If He wills it, He will do it. So how can we be equipped with this mechanism to seek His help? You know, over the week, I took some time and had a little writing retreat this week, and I watched some TV. A movie was on, and it was the Dark Knight, the Christian Bale Batman movie. The director of that was Christopher Nolan, very very good director, and that was the one with the actor that played the Joker, Heath Ledger, that later committed suicide. That reports were that there was that he put himself into that character, into the darkness of that character so much that that no one could see the intervention that he needed. Well, I was watching that film, and of course the famous thing is at the top of the building in Gotham City, when Commissioner Gordon wants to call on Batman, what does he do? He's so slow. Yes, the bat signal. Thank you. The bat signal. I'm very disappointed now. That's okay. I'll give you another chance at redemption here later. But shows the bat signal. Well, what's our bat signal to God when we need intervention, when something is happening, when there's some joker in our life that will not leave us alone, that is not just menacing us with his words and his face, but with his deeds when he's causing hurt in our lives? Well, this mechanism in the Bible is this: prayer. Prayer is our bat signal to God, to our superhero, to our heavenly Father. Because whether we like it or not, prayer is integral to us seeking help. Now, a lot of us, most of us in this room, were probably born and raised in the United States of America. And in the United States of America, we're taught to bootstrap our way to success, to not be whiners, not be complainers, to pull ourselves up by our bootstraps and not need help. But God, throughout the scriptures, demonstrates how he listens to the cries and calls and songs of his people that are crying out for intervention. And so this morning, we're going to look at four prayers that are in scripture that are linked somehow to God intervening in not only the people's lives that prayed them or sung them out to God, but also how they can be prayers for us this morning, this September 16th, 2018. And the first prayer we're going to look at is a prayer of deliverance. And this is not a prayer with banjo accompaniment, okay, with hillbillies and trees, missing teeth, where you fear for your life. That's where you pray a prayer of deliverance from deliverance. But deliverance is when you feel overwhelmed by circumstances out of your control. A prayer of deliverance is a prayer that you pray when you feel overwhelmed by circumstances out of your control. We'll get to the circumstances that maybe you caused, or the situations in your life where you caused them, in a second. But this is things that are seemingly out of our control. Evil people, oppressors, abusers, bad break after bad break. So I want to ask the specific question right now, and you're actually going to be able to tell me what prayer, what you need to be delivered from this morning. What do you need deliverance from? If there is something that you need deliverance from, a situation, a person outside of your influence right now that is oppressing you, abusing you, harassing you, stalking you, getting you off your game, text it to me right now at this number, and in a little bit, we will pray for you, for a prayer of deliverance, of intervention of God in these situations in your life. So let's look at a song and prayer of deliverance from Psalm chapter 3. Psalm 3. It's not a chapter. It's just a psalm. But Psalm 3, David cries out. A psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son. How about that? You have to flee from your son. Oh Lord, how many are my foes? Many are rising against me. Many are saying of my soul, there is no salvation for him in God. Selah. But you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory and the lifter of my head. I cried aloud to the Lord, and he answered me from his holy hill. Selah. I lay down and slept. I woke again, and for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of many thousands of people who have set themselves against me all around. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for you strike all my enemies on the cheek. You break the teeth of the wicked. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing be on all your people. Selah. Who is the person? What is the situation where you need deliverance this morning? Because when you cry out to God a prayer of deliverance, he hears you and he answers. It may not be in the time that you desire. It may not be on the schedule that you set because God may have you enduring this for longer than you would ever choose to endure it for your benefit and for his glory. A few of the things that have been texted in to me is a company is intentionally blocking or trying to put me out of business. Another is a prayer of deliverance from my children's father. Another is a prayer of deliverance from a draining and frustrating work environment. Another is a personal experience of a man to my children who portrays to others to be doing good but is doing great evil. Another is for someone that is spreading lies and falsehoods about me. Another is, don't know where to start, but praying for a better marriage. We all have prayers of deliverance, a job, a life situation, finances. They're all coming in. We have a God that listens to our prayers of deliverance that is waiting for us to seek him in faith, through faith in Jesus Christ, that he will intervene in our lives. And if he doesn't intervene by changing the circumstance, he'll intervene by changing our hearts and changing our attitudes towards the situation. So let me pray for these and those unspoken prayers of deliverance right now. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, we call out to you as David did in Psalm 3, as a God willing and able and powerful enough to deliver us from our enemies, to deliver us from falsehoods, to deliver us from abusers and oppressors, to deliver us from ruthless business practices, from deceptive and dishonest people, from our enemies, Father. Father, help us to rest in your perfect timing. Help us to rest in that you are trustworthy and good. In Jesus' name, amen. Prayer is something that we can do when we need intervention in our lives, from deliverance from evildoers. But a second prayer that we find in the Bible is a prayer for salvation. Now, here I'm not specifically talking about the sinner's prayer, where you ask Jesus into your heart, but it is kind of similar in theme. When we talk about salvation, especially within the Bible, salvation is slightly different from deliverance because we need God's intervention in our life to save us from ourselves, to save us from our sin, to save us from how we have felt about our sin, that is our shame, our lack of love of ourselves. And so, what are the sins you need saving from? What area of your life are you in need of forgiveness? What do you feel ashamed about? Text those to me, to us, as a body of believers, as a family of God. And I promise not to read names and telephone numbers. I promise not to backtrack you and hunt you down with reverse lookup on Google and Google your phone number. What do you feel ashamed about? What sins do you feel you need salvation from? Some sin that you just can't break? Because within the Bible, we have prayers of salvation. A famous one is in the book of Jonah in the Old Testament in chapter 2, where Jonah is called by God to go to Nineveh and preach the gospel, and he doesn't want to go. He doesn't want to go to that place because of the place, because of the people, because of the job that God's called him to do, and so he runs the other way towards Tarshish, and he gets on a ship, and the storm rises up, and the waters are churning around this boat that he hitched a ride on, and the captain of the ship figures out a way to know who's causing this, because it seems like a supernatural event. And so they cast lots. It's basically like if the captain of a boat got a deck of cards and had each one of you draw a card, and whoever had the low card, you were the reason that the storm was happening. And so they all cast lots, and guess what? Jonah drew the ace of spades. Or if ace is high, then two of spades. Fine, whichever. But he drew the lot. And Jonah knew it was God. And so he explained to him. And so he said the only way, the crew said the only way that the ship will be saved and also be saved is that we give you back to God, we throw you into the sea. And so they throw him into the sea. And Jonah agrees. He's like, yeah, that's me. My bad. Yeah, throw me into the sea. I'm going to get what I deserve. I'm ashamed. And yet, Jonah is thrown into the sea, and what happens to him? Swallowed by a big fish. Yes. He's rescued by the penguin. No, that's the Batman thing. He's swallowed by a great fish, Aquaman. There we go, DC all the way. So he's swallowed by a big fish. Well, listen to this prayer that Jonah prays. I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. And this distress is not one where he needs to be delivered from, right? It's one that he needs to be saved from because it was distress of his own making. And he answered me, out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice, for you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All your waves and your billows passed over me. Then I said, I am driven away from your sight, yet I shall again look upon your holy temple. In other words, I'm going to look to you. I'm not going to run away from you anymore. I'm going to look to you for my salvation. The waters closed in over me to take my life. The deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped about my head. At the roots of the mountains, I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever. Yet you brought up my life from the pit. O Lord my God, when my life was fainting away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you into your holy temple. Those who pay regard to vain idols forsake their hope of steadfast love, but I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you what I have vowed I will pay. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Jonah, praying this prayer from the belly of the great fish, possibly whale, from the belly of this great fish, this is the prayer he's praying. See, too many times, these simple Bible stories that we might learn as kids or hear in nursery rhymes or watch Talking Vegetables teach us, the whale was not God's judgment. The big great fish was God's rescue from the waters. And so even though he was inside this smelly, stinky sea life creature, that was rescue. Oftentimes, when we confess and we call out for God's salvation from our sins, from our shame, from our own doing, we do it not from a palace, but we do it from a jail cell. We do it from a bankruptcy court. We do it from a divorce court. We cry out from the stinky fish that God used to rescue us. And promptly after this, the fish vomits out Jonah onto the shore. Right after this. Praise be to God. Right? It takes a bit to clean up after your salvation. It takes a while to get the stench off of you, but you know that you have been saved. Friend, if you are praying a prayer of salvation, if you have experienced great sin in your life and you have reached out to God for salvation and then you find yourself in the middle of a stinky fish or a jail cell or bankruptcy court or getting call after call from collections agencies, that's the belly of the whale. Don't expect to have a suite at the Four Seasons after you pray a prayer like this. But expect that God is going to get the glory by you reaching out to him that where only salvation lies. Because if you find salvation in yourself, in bootstrapping, if you find salvation in running to another church, another town, another place where people don't know you and don't know your sin, well, you're not going to experience the blessing of giving God all the glory. That's powerful. Here are some of the sins, the prayers of salvation that people right here in this room are asking for. I confess I need patience and prayer with my child. I struggle with their decisions and their attitudes. I want to be a better parent where I've fallen short. I need salvation from my heart being hardened against my rebellious child. I need to repent from my resentment, from mental and physical abuse, from the way I was raised by my parents. It's okay to resent it, but you can't hold on to the hate and the hurt. You do need to let go. I need a prayer of salvation from guilt and shame and the grip of addiction. And we can all be addicted to so many things. I'm ashamed because I don't have a stronger relationship with God, and I'm ashamed of my attitude sometimes. I need a prayer of salvation from gossiping and cursing. Just curse your gossiping, and that'll... It's like antimatter. Just implodes on its own. I need to repent from being quick to anger and from staying in depression. And then I need to repent from harsh parenting. Let's go to God with these and our own personal prayers of salvation. Heavenly Father, we pray for intervention in our lives as sinners saved by grace and not by the good things or the great things that we do, but instead saved by the great things and good things that your Son has done. Father, we pray a prayer of salvation from all these things, that salvation belongs to you, Jonah cries out, and it's true. And so, because salvation belongs to you and not any medication, any drug, any comfort, any performance, we come to you for salvation. Not because we deserve it or because we earned it, but because we cry out for it and because you offer it as a free gift through your Son, Jesus Christ. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. So, let's give thanksgiving now, a prayer of thanksgiving to God for smelly fish. Right? And it's hard. It's hard to be thankful for the things, the ways, the methods, the timing that doesn't go according to what we would have God do. It's hard to be thankful in those times. And sometimes we're just so, have you ever had a moment, I mean, this happens to me all the time. Have you ever had a moment where you've prayed to God for some resolution or some result, like a test that you really didn't study for that well, that you kind of procrastinated, and it's like, and then you get there, and you say, oh, please, God, if I can just get this, I just don't want to show this grade to my parents. I just, please, God, I'll serve you forever. I'll become a priest, a monk, a nun, an evangelist. And then, like, a couple days pass, you get the grade back, and you're like, oh, sweet. And then it's off to the next thing. And you forget to say thank you. A prayer of thanksgiving, what does that have to do with intervention? Well, when God intervenes in our life, it's important for us to express thanks and to give him glory. Praying a prayer of thanksgiving for his divine intervention. Is this the first time that maybe you've put that phrase together with this sermon series? We pray for divine intervention all the time with Hurricane Florence that was coming across the Atlantic. People were praying for divine intervention. God, will you intervene in this storm in our lives? But when God does intervene, how thankful are you? Do you still use this mechanism of prayer to communicate your thanks? Well, the Bible is full of these prayers of thanksgiving. Well, we're going to give you an opportunity to express what you're thankful for. What intervention did God do that you need to express thankfulness for that you haven't? And this is a way that you can amplify your thankfulness through my amplification and through our sharing with it together. So let me know what those are while I read another prayer and song and psalm from David, Psalm 138. David writes and sings, "I give you thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods, I sing your praise. I bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and for your faithfulness. For you have exalted above all things your name and your word. On the day I called, you answered me. My strength of soul you increased. All the kings of the earth shall give you thanks, O Lord, for they have heard the words of your mouth, and they sing of the ways of the Lord. For great is the glory of the Lord. For though the Lord is high, he regards the lowly. But the haughty," and that's not the attractive girl or guy, that's the proud, okay? "For the haughty he knows from afar. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand delivers me. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands." The work of his hands is you and me. This cry out, this close of this prayer and song of thanksgiving is this one last, "Oh God, and don't forget, you made me. Don't abandon me." Even in David's prayer of thanksgiving, he's like, "But there's going to be more requests for deliverance, and there's going to be more requests for salvation because I'm a sinner. Don't forget me." When we sing and pray prayers of thanksgiving, we're honoring God. We're giving him the glory. We're not forgetting him. He's not a Santa Claus that we thank one day a year. He's our provider. So I've got a lot coming in. This is great. I'm thankful for my wife. She holds our family together, her patience with me and our kids. There's a rap lyric that comes to mind. When I fail as a spouse, I'm like a bad doctor. I've got no patience. Can you name the rap artist of that song? Okay. Don't Google the lyric. I don't want to know right now. I'm thankful God didn't give me the job I interviewed for this spring. He had new roles planned for me at work that align with my servant's heart, where I get to serve, and I get to serve more people in a way that I'm called. I'm thankful for God giving me a family that I love very much. He's blessed me more than I know is possible. Thanks be to God for intervening with the relationship between my father and I. Thanksgiving for holding on to me during the years I spent walking away from him. That's a good one for me too. Although I may not understand the reason yet, I thank him for my unanswered prayers. That's a Garth Brooks sermon that'll preach. When there is an insurmountable task that is at hand that works out flawlessly, God will bend time and all things flow. It's all him. Thank God for ending a destructive relationship where I could have ended myself. Even though it hurts, I'm grateful. Amen. I'm thankful for God's grace and mercy on my marriage. I'm thankful that he's a God of restoration. I'm thankful for a husband who is now my best friend. I have a lot, job, life situation, friends, family, Thanksgiving for a safe journey. I thank God for giving me the abilities I have and getting me through my life, that I cannot do anything on my own. All glory to God. With that, let's pray a prayer of thanksgiving to God. God, thank you for intervening in our lives. Thank you for all the interventions that you've done, those that we're aware of, but also, God, we're going to thank you for all the ones we're not aware of, because we're helpless without you. Father, please help us to be thankful people. Please and thank you are words that are drilled into us, especially here in the South. But Father, help us to mean it when we say it to you. Help us to be thankful for others in our lives, and that our politeness is actually not one of social graces, but is one of deep gratitude of all you've done in our lives. And that by us living thankful lives, we could be a sweet aroma, a sweet perfume that draws people to you. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So, we've covered a prayer of deliverance, a prayer of salvation, a prayer of thanksgiving. How about an all-encompassing prayer that covers everything, like when you don't know what to pray? Or you're in between deliverance and salvation and thanksgiving, and you just kind of need one to hit it all. If you just go, God, I don't know how to pray. Teach me how to pray. Well, there's one like that. And it's called the Lord's Prayer, because Jesus himself taught his first disciples, because if you follow Jesus, if you say you're a disciple of Christ, you're not the first. The 12 disciples were the first disciples, and they didn't know how to pray, and so Jesus was kind enough to disciple them, to teach them how to pray. And so this is how he taught his disciples how to pray. And if you would like, you can say it with me. For all of my lapsed Catholic friends like myself, because you're never an ex-Catholic, all the priests and your mother and your father would say, well, no, you're a lapsed Catholic. So anyways, you know this probably by heart, but let's read this together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. This is how Jesus taught his disciples how to pray. And all of that Pavlovian memorization as a Catholic, I say it different if I don't have the words on the screen, right? I'm talking about trespasses and things like that. So let's break down this prayer real quick, okay? So first of all, we pray to who? We pray to our Father. And where is he at? He's in heaven. So Jonah, David, they were praying to the holy temple because that's where God resided, right? In the temple, until Jesus came, died for our sins, and was resurrected and left us his Holy Spirit. And then we became the temple that the Holy Spirit resides in. But our Father, our Heavenly Father, is on the throne and he's in heaven. And hallowed be your name. Our Father is not a Disneyland dad. And our dad is not Buddy Jesus. Jesus is our brother, but our Father in heaven has a holy and hallowed name. There's no name that should be more glorified than God's. Your kingdom come. We're praying that heaven will come down to earth, that he'll remake the earth, that his kingdom will have no end. We're praying that into existence, that your will be done, that nobody else's will be accomplished but God's, not even our own. We want that to happen here on earth as it already is in heaven. Then we're asking God, an all-encompassing, hey, will you provide for us today? Jesus doesn't tell us to pray for our retirement bread, right? Pray for my God, Heavenly Father, amass my 401k. No. God, provide for me tomorrow. No, give us today, this day, our daily bread, and forgive us our debts. Forgive us our debts. Forgive us our sins. Forgive us our shortcomings, as we also have forgiven our debtors. See, we can't pray to God for forgiveness for our sins if we don't forgive others. At least not the way Jesus tells us to pray. And lead us not into temptation. God doesn't tempt us. Our hearts tempt us. What this means is that pray to God that we will always have the clear eyes and heart set upon him so that we can see the way out of temptation that God always provides for us. Because God always provides a way out. Scripture tells us that. But instead of that, deliver us from evil. Temptation is evil in our own hearts, but there's evil outside of us that we need deliverance from. Deliver us from evil. That is the Lord's prayer. When you don't have anything else to pray, pray the Lord's prayer. So, we've prayed prayers of deliverance, prayers of salvation, prayers of thanksgiving, and just kind of a catch-all prayer that includes all the theology that one needs for a morning. So what now for this morning? We have newlyweds in the room. We have students in the room. We have single people in the room. We have married people in the room. We have separated people in the room. We have divorced people in the room. We have college students in the room. We have first-time home buyers, renters in the room. We have people that are retired in the room. All of us are walking different journeys in life with our circumstances, but we are all walking the same journey as sinners that are in need of intervention. The good news is that we have a Bible chocked full of stories of God intervening in his children's lives. Adam and Eve, the first disobedient children on the face of the planet. God intervened. When they hid, when they spilled grape juice on the white carpet and then attempted to cover it with a towel and hide in their room. See, the disobedience that happens in our lives when we're kids or in our lives as parents, that's nothing new. It's been happening since God, our Heavenly Father, was the first parent. We have a Heavenly Father that is willing to intervene on our behalf to show us not only what the consequences of our sin is, death, but provide a way by grace, not because of how great we are or how we performed and redeemed ourselves. He sent our Redeemer, his only Son, so that we could become adopted sons and daughters in him. That is a prayer of thanksgiving that we should pray every day. And if you haven't prayed a prayer of salvation, it is time. And so with that, I want to ask our worship team to come forward as we get ready to sing one last song of worship and glory and intervention and thanksgiving. And this morning, if there is something that you haven't texted, that you would like our staff and me as a pastor to pray over, we've given you a mechanism. You don't pray to us. You don't pray to me as a pastor. You just fill out a connection card. It's on your bulletin. And you fill it out and you say, I want to have a conversation about salvation. I need counsel. I need support on an issue of deliverance. I just want to share a praise of thanksgiving for what God has done, what this church has done in my life. That's what that connection card is for. How you can show and contribute to this mission of God of intervening in people's lives and giving grace and hope to people through the work of the church by volunteering, whether it's serving in children's church or this morning we've got a bassist, but we don't have a guitarist. If you play guitar, there's a spot for you. If you play triangle, there's a spot for you. But if you go, I'm not musical, but I smile pretty well. Well, we've got a spot for you. There's greeters. If you look good in reflective orange, there's a spot for you. We've got a parking lot greeters that you come in, human traffic cones, as I like to call them. All for the glory of God. All to welcome people into a place where we can do what the church is supposed to do. The church is supposed to do two things. Worship God, and be in community with each other. Loving each other so well that it's attractive, that it wafts out onto Lebanon Road. You ever pass a bakery when they're baking? And you're like, oh, what's that? It's fresh baked, it's chocolate chip cookies. It's bacon. That's how we're supposed to love each other. But we can't love each other if we don't forgive each other. We can't love each other if we don't stand next to people that need deliverance, that lovingly confront one another when we need salvation, and when we don't express our thankfulness for one another, for what they've done in our lives, because what God first did for us. So that's what those connection cards are for. And so what we're going to do is you're going to fill those out, and there's some offering boxes, metal boxes on the way out that you can just slip those in. We don't pass baskets anymore. It's too much pressure, right? It's too much pressure. And so those boxes are back there for the connection cards and your weekly tithes and offerings if you bring those. But let's stand and let's worship the God that intervened in your life so that you could be sitting here today. Let's worship God that is always intervening if we just cry out. If we just call on him, he is faithful to save us.